Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Who, what, when, where, and why? These are the questions that need to be asked if you want to understand any situation. Any situation at all. You have to know who the players are. You have to know what's going on, what the time, when the time frame is, where they're doing it, and why. And if you have the answers to those questions, then you will understand a situation completely. Now, most of the time, we can pretty much discern the answer to all of these questions pretty easily, except for one. Why? Most of the time, we just can't understand why. See, this question, it gets thrown around so much. Even from a very early age, toddlers ask the question, why? And when you grow into adulthood, it doesn't come up any less often. For the Christian, we might wonder, why did God create Satan if he knew that Satan would turn against him? Or maybe we wonder, why did God plant the tree in the garden if he knew that Adam and Eve would eat from it? Or even after the fall, if God is powerful, then why doesn't he just snap his fingers and restore us to perfection immediately? Or maybe today when somebody does something stupid in the secular realm, we ask, well, why in the world would someone go and do something like that? Maybe if you're going through a hard time in life, you wonder, if God is so good, then why is this bad thing happening to me? Why am I sick? Why am I distressed? Why am I afflicted? Especially because there are people who are far more evil than me. Why me, God? We ask the question, why, constantly. It's the same question that was on the lips of the disciples in John chapter 9. And so I'll read again the small verses that we are going to focus on for this morning. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. Now you might notice the disciples actually ask the question, who? Who sinned? But that's not really the question they're looking to have answered. In fact, they already know who is involved. They know the who. It's a blind man. They know the what. It is his blind state of being from birth until now, which is the when, right? When did this happen? Well, it started at birth. And they know where. It says Jesus is passing by this blind man outside the temple. The question the disciples don't have the answer to is why? Why is this blind beggar, born blind from birth, sitting here? Whose fault is it? Where can we put the blame? Why? The disciples are dealing with a false understanding. You see, they want to believe that there is some sort of one-to-one comparison that, you know, if you somehow commit adultery in your past, then your firstborn son will be deaf. Or, you know, if you just tell a bunch of lies before you have children, then all of your children will be born with funny-looking noses. Or maybe, you know, if you murder somebody, then your kids won't be able to walk or will have some sort of other disease that they inherited. It's not true. This is not the way it works. The disciples think that sickness and affliction are based on the amount of evil someone has done, on the amount of sin someone has committed, or maybe one big sin that has happened in the past. The truth is that we think this way as well. We think just like the disciples. If someone seems to be a good person, you would expect that God would bless them. You expect that maybe nothing bad would ever happen to them. You and I think that there's some sort of correlation between the type of life you live and the amount of blessings God gives or God withholds. My friends, it's not so. That's precisely why, when things start going poorly in our lives, we ask God, why? Why, God, why me? Have I done something wrong? What did I do to deserve this? God, why? But when we ask this question of why, we're showing several things. First, you don't understand your own sin. Second, you don't understand who God is. You don't understand yourself and you don't understand God. And so Jesus sets the record straight in John 9. He says, there is no one-to-one comparison between afflictions and sin. It's not the parent's sin. It's not the man's sin. It's simply because sin is now a part of our fallen world. No matter how good you are, no matter how bad you are, you will experience the effects of sin on our world. Because the world has been so infested all the way to creation itself. And so what do we do with the sin? Exactly what Jesus says. We allow it to expose the works of God that might be displayed in us. Now we have to tread carefully because we don't want to say that God is the cause of the blindness, that he is the cause of the sin. See, the reason that there is affliction, the reason there's blindness and deafness and cancer and all other sorts of awful things in this life, it's because sin is in the world. And Jesus is recognizing something very profound here. When we sin, God sends his law. That way, by the power of the law, by the power of this sin, we might be driven to our knees to pick up the same stance as this blind man. Beggars. Lifting out our hand to beg. The problem is sin is what causes blindness. But it's precisely this sin that Jesus comes to remove. Sin leads you to realize your need for a Savior. And that's what Jesus is. He's your Savior. And so when we really want to know why bad things happen, the truth is that you already do know why bad things happen. In fact, you confess the reason bad things happen every Sunday. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities. And because of these sins and iniquities, we confess that we justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. Temporal punishment means that we tell God we deserve afflictions. We deserve pain. We deserve sickness. We deserve everything bad in this life. This is what we deserve. You haven't just been doing lip service to the confession, have you? The truth is that every Sunday you confess that you are an evil person. Somebody who deserves nothing good. If you don't believe me, it means you are still blind. It means you are still in your sin, that your sin prevents you from seeing who you are and seeing who God is. Because it's precisely when you understand what it means to be an evil person who deserves God's eternal and temporal punishment that it leads you straight to the one who has the solution for you. Jesus Christ. My friends, God sees you as a poor sinner. He sees you as a blind beggar. But he sees you not with his wrath, but with his compassion. And when he sees you a poor sinner, he gives you a promise of restoration and healing. Maybe not for your physical body, but for your soul. Maybe not in a way where all of your problems in this life will disappear, but he takes your sinful heart and he restores it. He washes it. He makes it clean. He declares, you are forgiven. After all, that is why Jesus came. He came to give you a promise. To wash away your sins, to restore you. And not only does he give you a promise, but then he delivers it. Because he goes to the cross. He sheds his blood. He dies for you. And as the poor, miserable sinners we are, to put ourselves in Jesus' place, we would say, well, why in the world would he go and do something like that? To die for a wretch like me, for somebody as miserable as I am. It's because Jesus loved you. Even before you loved him, Jesus loved you. Even as God could only see you as a miserable pile of garbage, he loved you. And he wanted to make you clean. He wanted to turn you into something better. That is why Jesus came. That is why he would give up his life for you. That is why he came out of the tomb. It's to leave your sins in the grave forever. So that you could be somebody who is holy and somebody who is pure and somebody who doesn't have to ask the question why, but simply trusts in the word of the Lord. Someone who trusts that God is always working for you. Someone who has the eyes of faith that can see Jesus caring for you even when you do go through suffering. Even when you do carry a burden. Recognizing that you're not carrying it alone. In fact, Jesus is carrying it for you all the way to the cross. He's taking care of everything for you. And in fact, it is those eyes of faith that are able to be empowered. Empowered and strengthened in with and under the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. See, Jesus restores sight to the blind as he gives you the eyes of faith. The truth is that we might not always understand our afflictions. We might not always understand why we have to suffer in one way or another. Because more often than not, those whys, the answers to those questions, they're going to be hidden from us. But in the midst of any and every affliction, during every day of your life, you can be certain that God is working for your good. That is why he brings your sin to remembrance. That is why he sent his son to die and rise for you. The only thing we need from God is to strengthen our faith, that we might see and realize every good thing in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.